This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kicking off hour two here on Money Moves, VSiN, the sports betting network, Sirius XM, channel 158, alongside Mark Melusis, Stormy Bonn, and Tony with you. We're coast to coast today. I'm out in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Mark's holding it down in NYC. So we're getting the East and West Coast bias today, Mark. It's great.
Yeah, no doubt. And it feels like Vegas here on the East Coast. We're under a heat wave, Stormy. It's going to be like 101 today, record highs in New York City. I feel like I'm in Las Vegas. And it's not like Vegas where it's a dry heat. Every time I go out there, everyone says, well, it's a dry heat. It's not really humid. No, no. It's like pure humidity here and the heat. So you sweat factor's at like a 12.
You don't hear this every day, that it's cooler here by a good margin. We're like 85 degrees today. There's some cloud cover. I don't know what's going on right now, Mark.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable. This is not one where you want to go outside, take the dog for a walk. This is one where you thank God that there's air conditioning and dry fit clothing. I mean, that's basically it.
Yeah. Pump the AC, close the windows, do whatever you can to cut off the sun from the house today. And hey, we'll talk a little New York sports today. The Mets in action, trying to get a win against the Braves. So we'll talk plenty of MLB. We'll also have Justin Perry join us in about 30 minutes to get his best bets on the slate. We'll close out the show with our favorite wagers of the day like we always do. We've also got a little NFL talk coming in. Last segment, by the way, if you missed any of hour one of the program, remember you can always download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. We did a full breakdown of Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers following his segment on the Pat McAfee show today. He said that he thinks this is going to be his last year in the NFL. That's why he signed the one-year deal with the Steelers. So we broke all of that down. We'll have a little more NFL talk and some quarterbacks with the Netflix series Quarterback coming out once again shortly. Break down some of the chances and odds for Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, all the guys that are included in that, have a little bit of fun there. But let's start in Major League Baseball. And I guess let's start with that Braves and Mets series with you out there in New York. Atlanta took game one of the four-game set at Citi Field yesterday, 3-2. They've won four straight against the Mets after sweeping them at home last week as well. Atlanta on a nice little run here. And an interesting pitching matchup here today with Spencer Strider, who has put together a couple good starts in a row, against Frankie Montas, who's making his first start of the season since getting injured in spring training. And we were talking about it in the break. The rehab starts, the numbers have not been good for Montas here so far.
No, terrible. I think his ERA down the minors, Stormy, was 12.05 was his ERA. Not great. The Mets basically came out and said, in essence, paraphrasing here, well, we signed him in the offseason. He's going to get an opportunity to start. So that's who's rolling out later on this evening out at Citi Field for the Mets as they take on the Atlanta Braves. If you're of the cliche in Major League Baseball that momentum's the next day starting pitcher, well, it's hard to back Frankie Montas tonight, especially going up against Spencer Strider, who obviously has been a strikeout wonder for the Atlanta Braves coming off injury this year. Faced the Mets a week ago. Pitch count got up, but still was effective enough. As you mentioned it, Stormy, the Braves swept the Mets down in Atlanta a week ago. The issues for the Mets now is not only the starting pitcher, but outside of the top three in their lineup. You look at the game last night, the top three in their lineup, when you look at Lindor, Nimmo, and Juan Soto, they went 4-for-11. When you look at 4 through 8 for the lineup, they went 0-for-18. The only other two hits in the game came from Brett Beatty, who played third base last night. They only had 6 hits in the game. Offensively, they're struggling. Mendoza came out, was critical of the back end of the starting lineup. The bullpen has shown some leaks here as well. I think it's really Braves or nothing. I know they're minus 145 on the money line, but still, I have a hard time envisioning taking the New York Mets, even though they've been great at home. You look at their home record, I think through 38 games, they're 27-11. So they've been great at home. The problem is the lineup is not producing. The other issue is you're seeing Montas on the mound tonight, and he has not looked good down in his rehab starts, and he's always been a guy that's got a million-dollar arm and a 10-cent hit.
And he told reporters he's not worried about those numbers in the rehab starts. Quote, I really wasn't worried about the numbers. I was worried about trying to work on my pitches so when I get here, I'm ready to go and have no limitations. The adrenaline is going to kick in. The numbers weren't where I wanted. I thought you weren't worried about them. But health-wise, it's been pretty good. And to be honest, I feel like I'm ready to go out there and compete. To further those numbers, you mentioned the 12.05 ERA in 6 starts. Gave up 8 runs in a single game, 1 2/3 innings. Most recent appearance, 5 runs in 5 innings. I am 100% with you on here. I know it's a little bit juicy with Atlanta, but that would be the angle I would go. What do you think about the Braves, by the way, here real quickly? Big picture, you look at the odds market for them to make the playoffs, plus 350. They're playing better. Acuna's been amazing since he's come back. Like, any thought that maybe they could make a little bit of push the back end of the year?
You know, so I thought coming off the sweep last week of the Mets, and then they go down to Miami and lose 2 or 3 against the Marlins. And you're saying to yourself, well, how does that possibly happen, right? So they've not been able to get out of their own way. I think, you know, we'll see exactly how the rest of this series plays out. Like, if they win the next 3 against the Mets, you know, tonight, tomorrow night, and Thursday night, you know, then, yeah, I think that marketplace obviously will come down. They won't be where they are right now. But Atlanta's been trying to find themselves. They got off to that dreadful start. Yeah. They've dealt with some injuries, but you mentioned it. The driving force, and he had a big home run last night, has been Acuna as he celebrated his way around the base pass, and he is an unbelievable player to watch night in and night out.
Since his debut back on May 23rd, is the only qualified batter in baseball with an on-base percentage over 500. He's 40 for 101 with 21 walks and homered, as you mentioned, once again last night. Let's go to Detroit because it's Tarek Skubal Day in Tigers A's. Detroit opened a big minus 280 favorite here, Mark. Bet out to as high as I'm seeing minus 330 in the market. Consensus minus 315 against the A's. Low run total in this one at 7.5. I am kind of tempted by the run line play here, although it's juicy as well, minus 140. I mean, Skubal, Cy Young favorite, one of the best, if not the best pitchers in baseball right now, 8-2, 206 ERA. And while the numbers are really good on the road, I mean, they're even better at home, 6-0, 188 ERA in that building. Tigers have also given him a lot of run support in his starts, covered the full game run line in 8 of his 10 starts. But Luis Severino on the other side deserves better than that 2-7 record, and he's been really good on the road as well. How did you break down this one?
Yeah, I think you hit upon it at the end, Stormy, in terms of Severino. His ERA on the road this year has been under 1. I think it's 0.98, right? So he's been really, really good. I you know, listen, I think the only way to take it would be the Tigers. No one's laying 329, right, when you're looking at Detroit. But if you look at the run number and you're looking at under 7.5, I know it's juiced to minus 124 right now. I think that's the way it goes. I think Skubal's going to pitch well. He's gotten an ERA under 2.5 for the entire season. You look at Luis Severino, the home and road splits, obviously they're pitching home games in a minor league ballpark out in Sacramento. He's been really, really good on the road. I would expect him to be really good tonight once again. I like under 7.5. I like Detroit to win the game, but I like it to be a low scoring affair and a pitcher's duel between Severino and Skubal.
Also, our VSiN by the books friends earlier this morning, they did a little segment earlier today I caught when I was getting ready this morning called "A Day Off Will Do the Body Good." The Tigers are one of those teams, 8-0 on the money line, 7-1 covering the run line with a day's rest, covering by an average of 2.5 runs per game. They're also 10-1 at home in series openers this season. I think we got a good one, and to your point, a good low-scoring one, a fun pitcher's duel on deck out there in Detroit. Let's hit one more of these games. Phillies Astros, don't love it, but I do kind of lean taking the low-hanging fruit on a potential under in this one as well, another 7.5 run total with Ranger Suarez and Framber Valdez going head-to-head. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Phillies at plus money, at plus 129. You know, you look at Ranger Suarez, Stormy. Suarez has been really good on the road this year for the Philadelphia Phillies, and he's the starter tonight down in Houston. Valdez obviously has been good, and obviously he's pitched some tough luck for the Astros. But you look at on the road this year, 3-1. 0.98 ERA, 27 2/3 innings of work on the road. You look at Philadelphia, you're getting the Phillies, a team that obviously is in contention with the Mets for first place in the National League East. They're on the road. You look at Suarez, has been good on the road, dominant on the road this year for the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm going to take Ranger Suarez on the road in Houston tonight and his 0.98 ERA, road ERA.
Yeah, and I mean, just to further that as well, he's been just particularly great this month with a 1.33 ERA in the month of June. Going deep in games, you're getting 7 innings out of him each of his last 3 starts, which is great if you are like me and have a little bit of trouble trusting that bullpen. Not particularly great on that side of things, but I like taking the Phillies as a dog here. That's fun. That was that bullpen, by the way, Mark. That was my one fear on the under today. I'm like, are they gonna do me dirty here? I don't know. I don't love it.
No, I could understand that. You're going to need Suarez to pitch deep in the game. And listen, you might get it, and you know, it's juice to the under right now when they're expecting both Valdez and Suarez to both pitch well, right? That's where the bettors are leaning right now. That's where the marketplace is leaning you to believe. But if you get into a scenario where you like the Phillies plus 129, you get into the back end of that bullpen, could they make you sweat, Stormy? Mm. I don't think there's any doubt about it. They can make you sweat a little bit. So you need Suarez to go deep into this game. And as you mentioned, here in the month of June, not only is he pitching well, but he's been giving Rob Thompson and the Philadelphia Phillies some depth to his starts as well.
Yes, no question about it. Okay, so a little bit sweaty. Fortunately, the other bullpen is quite good, so that helps the cause. Second best in Major League Baseball. Everybody, reminder, well, yes, we're talking all things Major League Baseball. We've got the NFL season coming up. Don't forget about horse racing. If you want to get in on the action, First Bet has you covered. You can sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races each and every day, right from your phone or computer, wherever you are. Get it done. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And get this. And use our promo code VSIN200, that's VSIN200. That'll score you a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting the races today at firstbet.com. Again, the number one, stbet.com. Again, we will have a little bit more Major League Baseball talk coming up in about 15, 20 minutes or so. Justin Perry, writer at pitcherlist.com, is going to break down some of his best angles on the slate today, because we only touched on 3-4 games just there. There's 15 across the board, every team in action today. So we'll get into that. But coming up, a little NFL futures talk. You won't want to miss it. Stick around. More Money Moves coming up after this.
Here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
So, what is this? 2 days after the NBA Finals are in the books, we're already just like, give me all the NFL futures, because we're getting to that point in the year. Oh my gosh, mandatory mini camp's over. We've actually got some storylines going into the NFL season, but the NBA done, the NHL done, the bulk of the PGA Tour season done. We've got daily baseball, we've got the WNBA, and we've got futures, baby. But Mark, what's fortunate here is that everybody loves the NFL, and people bet the NFL and watch the NFL more than they do anything else in American sports, so it's worthwhile to get into.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, especially now, like, you can also, like, you know, you sit back, whether you're by the pool, beach, whatever it might be, having a barbecue in the backyard, and you kind of, like, taking a little bit of a deep breath. You're not worried about Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs, baseball. It's great to have on in the background. Necessarily don't have to be locked in pitch to pitch. And you can think about football, because we're like 5.5 weeks away, 6 weeks away from the start of NFL training camps. And then it's like the ramp up. Then blink of an eye, Stormy, we're going to be at the start of the NFL regular season, college football getting going. Like, it's an amazing time of the year.
I know. And by the time we get to it, too, it's going to go by like that. So let's actually, like, embrace the lead up a little bit, shall we? Kind of set the tone for what we have to come. This time of year is really great to take inventory of a handful of teams, the moves that they've made, some moves maybe you anticipate them making, getting set for training camp, which, by the way, is actually a good segue to remind people, less than a week from today, we will have our VSiN NFL betting guide officially drop. The only way you get access to it, though, is if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber. VSiN.com/subscribe right now. We've got our early bird special going on for $175. You get access to everything we do here at the network, including that betting guide and including Josh Applebaum's book pre-order for sharp betting in the NFL. So make sure, if you're not already involved, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's how you get access to it all and really plan out your season. We have best bets from all of our different show hosts, analysts, marquee articles that are going to be writing down certain awards markets. So it's so valuable. We say it all the time. It's probably the most valuable and most time intensive guide that we have each and every year, getting you set for the NFL. I actually did all of my write-ups yesterday, and very exciting, Mark, that we have the quarterback series that's returning for Netflix as well, which is kind of the
love
theme
it.
For this segment we're doing. Me too. And I love, in particular, so for anyone who doesn't know, the three players that this is kind of centralized on this year are Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins is back once again. His story is so interesting. But Joe Burrow didn't want to do it, and Peyton Manning, because Omaha Productions is such a big part of this with Netflix, Peyton Manning talked him into it. And I am so excited for a guy who we don't really know a ton about personally to kind of see how he views the game and how he's overcome injuries. And specifically last year when the Bengals, Mark, were playing so well down the stretch and he's having an MVP caliber season, but they end up getting held out of the postseason.
Yeah, no doubt. And they got to get over the idea of getting off to these sluggish starts, Stormy. I mean, that's the thing that has doomed Cincinnati, right? They can't start the year 0-2 again. That's something Zach Taylor's got to get to work with in terms of for the Bengals. But I love Burrow. Like, and, you know, you're learning more. I know he's in New York City over the weekend, Fanatics Fest, and he's dating a swimsuit model. Good for Joe Burrow, Joe Cool, everything that comes along with it. Love his fit when he's walking into the stadium
on NFL Sundays. Mark, I wonder if his girlfriend got the ick, though, watching him throw a baseball, because that was rough.
Terrible. It was awful. Like, it was terrible. I don't know what was worse, Joe Burrow throwing a baseball or Cody Rhodes shooting a basketball. They were both awful. Like, Cody Rhodes was terrible. I was like, did you ever pick up a basketball? Ever play around in the backyard? Go to the gym? Whatever it might be? Like, I don't get that. Like, listen, I'm not a great athlete, but I can shoot a basketball and I can throw a baseball. Like, there are things that come along with it. But
and doesn't that make you think about all these athletes who come out and like, who would be the best player in this sport or could like translate to anything? You're like, we'll see about that. You know,
none. Right. You're good at what you do. You're great at what you do. Like, I was like, I'm like, Joe, it's not a football. Like, what are you doing? Like, wind up, throw a baseball. Like, I mean, it was the oddest thing I've ever seen. Somebody pointed out to me. I was like, did you see it? I'm like, no. I'm like, let me watch. I'm like, that's how he's throwing a baseball? I can't believe it. But I think the series is great, and I think they picked three great. I mean, when you look at Burrow, Goff, and Cousins, three quarterbacks at different stages of their careers a little bit. Burrow and Goff are similar points, but clearly Cousins obviously is not. But Stormy, I think it's a great series. I think anytime you can learn a little bit about more about players and you're behind the scenes with them and what makes them tick, as sports fans, which you and I both are, I think, and for everyone out there that consumes it, I think you learn a little something about what makes people tick, and it makes it that much more intriguing to watch each and every week.
So with Burrow, his numbers last year were, quite frankly, incredible. And they had to be because of, as you mentioned earlier, the defense was so bad. It was like a shootout every game for the Cincinnati Bengals. He had 4,918 pass yards to lead the NFL, an NFL best 43 passing touchdowns to just 9 interceptions. When you look at the Bengals this year, were there any futures bets that did stand out to you? We can throw the graphic on the screen. Their win total coming into the season set at 9.5. They are an odds-on number at -160 to make the postseason this year, +230 in what we know is a tough division division odds-wise, +950 to win the conference, and a 20-1 shot in the Super Bowl. If Burrow stays healthy, is that enough, or does the defense need to take a big step this season?
No, I think that's enough for me. I love Burrow. I love watching him play, and I love what they can do offensively. And I have massive concerns, as everybody does, when you look at them Stormy defensively and whether or not they're going to go out there and get a big-time stop. But can they play the game to where you used to see with Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts, to where you jump out on teams, help that defense out, make the opposing offense a little bit of a one-trick pony to where you're not defending both the run and the pass, make it a two-score game early? Can Joe Burrow and the Bengals do that decidedly enough during the course of the regular season? Only time will tell. I dabbled a little bit in terms of +950 with the conference, 20-1 to win the Super Bowl, because I think Burrow's that special of a quarterback. Now, he needs to go out there and stay healthy, love the weapons and the relationship he has with Chase and Higgins, his two wideouts. They're unbelievably fantastic. I get concerned. I would hope to believe that Taylor and company have figured out these slow starts. But I think Burrow is one of those guys where you give him a football, I don't care where that game is played, he's going to give your team an opportunity to win.
And you would imagine that they would, right? And if not now, when you look at the start of the schedule for the Cincinnati Bengals this year, they open the season against the Cleveland Browns, who who even knows who their starting quarterback is going to be day one. The Jacksonville Jaguars week two, Minnesota Vikings, who have a young, unproven quarterback stepping into that role as well. And then at Denver, and things start to get a little bit tougher there. But you definitely have that ease in portion of the schedule for you to get off to a good start if you take advantage of the opportunity. And Zach Taylor has said, because this is a team that hasn't really played starters in the preseason at all, that there is going to be that emphasis this year to get them off to that better start. Okay, the second most passing yards in the NFL this past season go to Jared Goff, who had 4,629. He had 37 touchdowns, 12 picks. We know how good the Lions were this past season. So good, in fact, that both of their coordinators got picked up and are head coaches elsewhere. How big of an impact do you think that's going to have on the Lions this year and their hopes of getting back to a conference championship and potential Super Bowl?
Stormy, I think it's huge. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think Glenn, Ben Johnson, they were tremendous coordinators for Dan Campbell, and Campbell's the head coach. I get concerned about the offensive line as well when their starting center retires, and the offensive line was arguably the best unit in the NFL for the last 3 years. The ability to go out there and run it with Jahmyr Gibbs. Love the weapons they have at wide receiver. And listen, Goff has shown himself to be a leader and rejuvenated his career out there in Detroit. But I do get concerned anytime anybody looks at it and says, well, plug and play, you put in another offensive coordinator. Well, no, not necessarily, because the vision of Ben Johnson, obviously, and now he's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. That's a huge loss to what Detroit was doing offensively, because there is a method to the madness in terms of setting up a game plan in order to take advantage of the opponent week in and week out. Can they overcome it? Yeah, I think Campbell's a wonderful head coach. I think he set a culture out there in Detroit. But I think when you lose both coordinators and then some of the issues that they have now, replacements along that offensive line, I get a little bit concerned about the Detroit Lions. Not to the point where I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think they will. Yeah. But are they going to be to the level they were the past couple of years?
Yeah, to your point, a 15-win season last year, averaged more points per game than anybody in the NFL last season, behind what Ben Johnson was able to create with the talent that he had on offense, 33.2 points per game. That's more than 3 points more than any other team in the NFL on a per-game basis last year. I don't want to shortchange Kirk Cousins, so maybe we can save him for a little bit later on in the program when we get to our best bets. But this division, I think, is going to be fascinating as well, with the Lions plus 140 odds in the division for them. But the Packers, the Bears, who we just talked about, Ben Johnson being their head coach, what kind of a step might Caleb Williams take there? And the Minnesota Vikings as well. Everybody has them falling off this year, but I think they had that happening last year too, and look how it worked out for Minnesota. Yeah. So this is fun. Just getting started, getting into all of the NFL stuff for this postseason. Off season. I wish it was the postseason, if only. We'll touch on Kirk Cousins more a little bit later on in the program when we come back. Justin Perry, PitcherList.com. He's going to join us, break down his best bets on the Major League Baseball slate coming up. Don't go anywhere. More Money Moves after this.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Got a loaded MLB slate on deck this Tuesday edition of Money Moves as we welcome you back here to the program. 15 games coming up, all 30 teams in action. Some good pitchers and pitching matchups alongside Mark Melusa, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We already discussed a few games a little bit earlier. Excited to welcome in our good friend Justin Perry on the Progressive guest line to get some of his best bets for the day. We check in with you all the time during basketball season for all the work you do over at Shot Quality, but repping PitcherList.com today for all of the data that you put together on a daily basis for the MLB season. How are you doing, Justin? And you got all of 0 days rest between basketball and baseball, yeah?
Stormy, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. It is so good to be back. And yeah, no rest for the wicked around here. We move right into baseball season. Onslaughts, 20 slate games. I mean, you know, it was 20 bet slates, I should say. I don't really ever get a break, but that's the way I like it, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Both basketball and baseball are so great because you really get to cut your teeth. You have a bad day, you have a bad week, there's another high volume potential around the corner. So it's just so much fun to get to do it every day, and we have another great day coming up in just a few hours.
Justin, what do you lean into in terms of, you know, from a profitable standpoint? What do you like? What action do you like? What do you like to take advantage of when looking at baseball?
I am exclusively a first five better, actually. Ooh. So it's actually a really good question, because most people might expect to hear, oh, well, you know, I have a full game spread or a total. And most of my edges, I do think, can correlate to a full game. But my perspective is, if you want to bet the full game, you really need to know a lot about those bullpens, a lot about who's available, a lot about those late game matchups. And I'd much rather focus in on the first five innings, where maybe now, sure, teams are throwing an opener my way to maybe screw up those first three batters and try to make it a little bit more manageable for their guys. But in the most part, you are seeing the same pitcher for 4 to 5 innings, and you can really key in on their performance in comparison to trying to predict maybe who you're going to get on the defensive side. I think that really does help with baseball profitability.
That checks, Mark, based on our conversation earlier about this Phillies and Astros game, how I said I was a little bit anxious about one of those bullpens. Our guy Justin here just says, let's get rid of those altogether. Do you have an F5 play in that game, by the way?
That one is actually one of the few I don't have going today. It's usually pretty hard to get a full grasp on some of these teams, especially coming off that Sunday night with the Phillies. I do like Valdez a lot. I always have a lot of value on him. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, especially given the propensity for the fly ball to be leaving the park today in the heat across America. I mean, everyone is inside, huddled by the air conditioners on the East Coast. So if you're outside playing baseball, that ball is going to fly. And with Valdez, I think he could be hyper valuable today. So I'd maybe look for them to do a bit better. I'd lean towards the Astros, but I didn't put anything down for that game today starting.
How about Royals and Rays out in Kansas City, 7:41 first pitch, Bradley on the mound for Tampa Bay. They're a +116 road dog. Anything there that you like?
Yeah, this is actually the game I think I have the most bets on today. I'm all over the over. I like both these pitchers to be a little bit worse than advertised. And I don't think that's to say that they're not good. Both Bubik and Bradley have had good seasons. I just think this is a spot where you can go against them. And Bubik especially, a 2.12 ERA, 1.12 whip right now. The pitcherless metrics probably looking a little bit closer to like a 3.5. And again, that's not to say it's bad. That is a very good expected ERA there. But, you know, and that's the same thing for his SI ERA, 3.57, FIP 2.5, still sitting under that. So you have to think at some point there's some luck. There's a little bit of extra oomph in there that he's getting, maybe some calls, maybe seeing some weaker teams. Now getting this Tampa Bay Rays team with, you know, young phenom Caminero, and they have both the lows in there and Caballero. This is a shifty run producing team that I think can get some runs home. I like the over 4.5 on the Rays Royals total for the first five. And then I think you can take both the teams individually on their team totals. I like the Rays to score on Bubik, and I like the Royals to score on Bradley. I've been really excited to see Salvador Perez finally coming into his own with one of the coldest players on every metric the entire first third of the season, absolutely hampering the attack for the Royals. And now he's swinging the bat, making good contact. The decision value is all there, and he propels his offense forward with Garcia and Witt and Pascatino, and Caglione looks great. So I like the runs to flow today in Kansas City.
Same time for the first pitch in Mariners Twins today. Seattle off a big 11-2 win yesterday. Cal Raleigh has his 32nd home run of the season. Chris Paddock on the hill for the Twins. Slight -113 favorite over Luis Castillo and the Mariners -108. Run total 8.5. Anything stand out to you in that one?
Yeah, I'm going to back Paddock in the first five today and go against Luis Castillo and take the Twins on the first five money line in this one. I like them. And that little bounce back spot from yesterday, Mariners absolutely pounced on him. It felt like everyone was taking advantage of Ober. I think Paddock, maybe a little bit of the lesser known name this season compared to Ober, he's pitching pretty well. The expected rates on him are lower than where he's at. He has a 4.62 ERA right now, but he is throwing some good stuff. I think there is a good reason to back him today. It's not going to necessarily be pretty, but I do think Luis Castillo gives you some concern if you're a Mariners supporter. I expect the Twins to score runs to win this. If they get held scoreless or one or two runs, that's probably going to be a push or a loss. We really need them to kind of hit Castillo hard, and so I also took the Twins to score over 2.5 runs in the first five innings for this one.
Justin, anything Stormy and I talked about a little bit about earlier, Mets and Braves, Montas making his debut for the Mets was terrible in his rehab starts. He doesn't want people to focus in on. Why should they? He had a 12 ERA. And Strider on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. Anything with the Mets and the Braves?
Over, definitely. I mean, I'm in New York City myself, and it's hot. It is hot. It's brutal. That wet bulb temperature, that dew point temperature is like 72, and it's 105. Feels like 115. So I fully expect the balls to be flying today at Citi Field. It's going to be hard to be a pitcher. I was just talking about it a little bit on my own page. You talk about being a pitcher versus being a hitter in baseball when that temperature starts to go up. That pitcher's got to be out there for 30 pitches sometimes. Those extended innings can really wear you down. It's a hard environment to pitch in, and the ball flies further. The hitters get to hang out in the dugout until it's their single at bat, and they lock in. It's just a little bit different. So I wouldn't be shocked to see some pretty mean run totals across baseball again today. We saw it yesterday. It's fun to hit in hot weather. It is not fun to pitch in hot weather. Not very many pitchers have historically gotten better in the summer.
MLB analyst, pitcherslist.com writer Justin Perry joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's go to the nightcap. Marlins and Giants, San Francisco, a sizable full game money line favorite, minus 181 with Justin Verlander on the hill. Cal Quantrill going for Miami. What in the F5 did you like?
The over. Giants, I think both, again, and I like the F5 joke. You got to poke a little fun, right? But it is obviously applicable. Assuming that you get a lead in the first five, you'd hope that the A team comes in from the bullpen, that you have either a large lead and you don't need the best relievers, or you have a small lead and you get the best relievers. My only concern is like, well, maybe if you think you might get a small lead and the best relievers pitched yesterday, do you really want to be expecting them to get it home, or do you just want to focus on the fact that Cal Quantrill has a 5.68 ERA and only throws 2% more good pitches than bad pitches than rated by Pitcher List? So I'm going to go and lock in on that. I expect Verlander to maybe be able to hone in a little bit at the, plus pitching park there in San Francisco. Cal Quantrill, though, against this now supercharged San Francisco offense. You had Helio Ramos. You had a couple of other great names there. Chapman, of course, and dealing with injury. But you add Devers, all of a sudden you have a super slugger on top of a team that was already decently formidable, especially when outside the confines of one of the toughest hitting parks in baseball. So against an arm like Quantrill, who rates around a 5 expected ERA, has a 5.68, you're probably going to get more likely to see 3 runs in the first 5 innings than 2. So I'll take the Giants to get that scoring home. Might have to come on a ball into the bay from Devers, but that'd be fun. So I'm with it.
Real quick, we've only got about 60 seconds left with you, but anything else on your list that we missed you want to make sure you get out here real quickly?
I think you got to bet the Dodgers. I know it's a little cliche. I know some people don't like to do it. I laid the minus 195 on the first 5 money line. I think I saw like a 210 and 215. I saw a book laying minus 195. I ran and I played it. Again, beating the market, a consensus like that. Some people are afraid of big lines. I think if you have an edge, you shouldn't really care what the price is. It's really just about what your expected gain on that bet is, and that's why you should be excited to lose a bet you love when it's all said and done, equal to win it, right? It's the pre-tip, the pre-action feeling that matters, not the post-result that you should really be concerning yourself with, especially, we're emotional beings. So nothing else, really. I like Detroit today. I think Toronto and Cleveland get some scoring done as well. And Boston to win the first 5. Tyler Anderson been escaping a little lucky, and Garrett Crochet is definitely still very good. So would look to him to fan a few angels tonight.
Great stuff as always, buddy. Thanks for doing this, Justin.
Thanks, Stormy. Thanks, Mark. Good having you. Thanks for having me. Thanks.
See you soon.
Justin Perry, everybody, doing a great job breaking down the MLB. Make sure you check out pitcherlist.com. And, of course, when the NBA season is going on, shot quality and shot quality bets. We will be right back here on Money Moves, our best bets of the day coming up after this. And we'll finish up a little bit of that quarterback conversation from earlier.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody. everybody. We are wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for hanging out with us on SiriusXM, Channel 158, YouTube TV, wherever you may be watching or listening from. We appreciate it. Alongside Mark Melusis, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Mark, during the commercial break, Derek Stevens, owner of Circa, where I'm broadcasting from, he walks in the studio. He was talking a little bit about the complete media tour that he's been doing this morning behind me at the book, talking all things Circa Survivor and Circa Million Contest. And he said there was a man he saw getting interviewed coming up for the annual documentary that they do on Circa Survivor, who is signing up for Circa Million and is already making the proclamation that in 5 months he's going to be a millionaire and that nobody really has a shot. So I guess that stall the signups because we're all hosed now.
You never do that. You never do that. You never do that. I mean, you can have a quiet confidence, but you never go out there and guarantee victory, especially when it comes to Survivor. I appreciate the confidence. I never have that kind of confidence level when it comes to Survivor. It's basically hope and pray every single week that you don't step in it.
I need to get this man's information because can you imagine, genuinely, if he called his shot and it happens? Like, just the coolest thing ever. People act also like Circa Survivor, not just Circa Survivor, but Survivor contests in general. Conceptually, it should be so easy, right? Oh, you just got to pick one winner a week. They're such big favorites. It's impossible. I am fascinated at the people that win this because it is so freaking hard every week, Mark.
It's, well, yeah, it should be easy, but I mean, there's a method to the madness because you don't want to go heavy favorites early because then you're basically picking from the bottom of the barrel late in the season should you get to that point, and then you're screwed. So you can't do that. So there's an art form to it. And let's be honest, Stormy, you got to be lucky. I mean, you know, because there are things that happen during the football game, as we all know, where things all of a sudden look like it's going great, and then all of a sudden momentum changes third quarter. Then all of a sudden the sweat is starting, and you realize you're going to be on the losing end, and you could have went in another direction, and you didn't. And so that's the way it always ends for me. Usually I'm either out early or get off to a good start and then have a gut-wrenching loss in like week 8 or week 9 that takes me days to overcome.
The one that always sticks with me more than any other was week 10 during the COVID season. We had the Steelers and Lions that ended up in a tie, and it was the week that Big Ben ended up getting COVID, and so he was ruled out after you already had to submit your entry. And just it's a brutal story no matter how you go out for everyone. We talked so much about Joe Burrow and the Bengals earlier on the program because Cincinnati, remember, started 0-3 to start the year, lost 4 of their first 5. Well, game 1 was against the New England Patriots, where they were the biggest favorite on the entire board, and they lose outright. Then they played the Chiefs. Week 3 comes around. It's the Washington Commanders, who everyone expected was still going to be bad. They end up winning that game. It's just brutal. It is nowhere near as easy as everyone thinks it is. But it's so much fun. The ride is so fun. And Circa Millions with the 5 picks against the spread every week is also a blast. And that gives you the full year-long gratification of being involved and having the quarterly prizes and stuff. Get out here to Circa. You got to sign up in person. But if you have a proxy service, you can play from anywhere in the country. So nobody does it better here than Circa. 21 million combined with the two contests on the line. It's amazing. That said, let's get into our best bets of the day here, Mark. Best bets presented by GBank, as always. And the GBank First Bet and VSiN trifecta is underway, ladies and gentlemen. All you need to do to get in on the action is open the GBank Visa Signature Card your first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature Card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. And then VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription, $200 value there. So that is the trifecta. VSiN.com/GBank is how you can get more information and sign up. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. It does not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. VSiN.com/GBank. And I know, Mark, you've got a handful of bets in Major League Baseball, so let's get to it. What is your, let's say, your favorite wager of the day? Which one do you feel the most confident in today?
I'd probably take the Braves minus the 146. You know, Stormy, we were talking a little bit earlier. It's going to be hot. Frankie Montas making his Met debut tonight. Spencer Strider on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. You know, Mets have struggled offensively. Their manager came out last night after the game, Carlos Mendoza, critical of, you know, 4 through 9 in the lineup. You know, top three did their job last night. But, it's Strider, it's Montas. It's going to be steamy hot in New York even later on tonight with temperatures in the 90s. So maybe you get some offense. I would expect Atlanta to get to Frankie Montas. I've never been a big fan. They're minus 146. I would take the Atlanta Braves tonight at minus 146. I like the Philadelphia Phillies on the road in Houston tonight, taking on the Astros with Ranger Suarez on the mound, Stormy. You know, they're plus money. I think it's actually ticked up where they're actually around plus 130 when you're looking at the Philadelphia Phillies. Suarez has been great this year on the road. 0.98 ERA, his pitch deep into the games. You mentioned it earlier in the show, Stormy. He's been great in the month of June as well when you're looking at his splits, too, on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. Do I necessarily trust the back end of the bullpen? Probably not. But I'll take Philadelphia. I think they're a team of quality, especially when you look at the National League competing with the Mets for first place in the National League East. I'll take the Phillies on the road with a quality starting pitcher on the road in Houston when you're getting plus money. And we mentioned earlier in the show, I think you got a good pitching matchup in Detroit. Skubal on the mound. It's Skubal Day, so Tiger fans are celebrating, right? But you've got Luis Severino on the mound for the Sacramento A's, let's call them them, or the Athletics, or the future Vegas A's, whatever you want to call them. They're the Athletics, right? I still love their uniforms, terribly run organization. But when you look at the A's, Severino has been great on the road this year, 0.98 ERA. He's on the road tonight in Detroit. I think it's a pitcher's duel. I'm going to take the under. It's actually ticked down to 7 now. I got it at 7.5, at under 7.5. So I like the under between the A's and the Tigers. I think Severino pitches well in Detroit. And I do think the Detroit starter, obviously one of the best in baseball. Yeah.
I know the run line is dicey when you have two really good pitchers like that, but that is the way that I'm going with Detroit. I trust this team. I know they've been a little bit more up and down lately, but with Skubal on the hill, as you mentioned, not only in his starts has he been fantastic, but he's gotten the run support as well. 8-2, 2.06 ERA. And in 8 of his 10 starts, the Tigers have covered the full game run line. We also gave you the numbers earlier. The Tigers off a day of rest, 8-0 money line, 7-1 covering the run line with a day's rest, covering by an average of 2.5 runs per game. And they're great to open up series as well. So I'm on the Tigers run line. It's a little bit juicy, minus 143. Don't love it. Not my favorite play of the day, but it is where I'm going. And I am totally tailing you on the Braves today. I'm buying what they're selling right now. And I don't know. You tell me, especially as somebody who watches the Mets as often as you do, to an extent in baseball, is it possible to have a team's number? Do the Braves just somehow have the Mets' number, winning 4 straight in this series against New York?
Yeah, you thought maybe it came to an end because the Mets clinched a playoff spot last year, final day of the regular season, first game of a doubleheader down in Atlanta. But historically speaking, yeah, the Braves have treated the Mets like their redheaded stepchild. I mean, they just have. They've owned them. So, it's been a team that, and, you know, Atlanta's been a house of horrors for the Mets the year that they won 110 games. I mean, it's just been really bad. So, maybe it's a little bit in their heads. I think Atlanta comes in when they take on the Mets. I think they've got an extreme amount of confidence. And to me, Stormy, this is about starting pitching more so than anything else. It wasn't favorable matchups down in Atlanta. Wasn't a favorable matchup last night with Paul Blackburn on the mound. And it's not a favorable matchup tonight with Frankie Montas going up against Spencer Strider. So yeah. I think that's the way I look at it. But I do think Atlanta, even despite their record, has a confidence level when they take on the Mets.
Yeah, and Strider, I know he had a little bit of a slow start coming back from the injury, but he's been really good lately, a couple really good quality starts. And as I read in the New York Post today, I know Frankie says relax, but those numbers, those numbers in the rehab starts are
terrible.
Brutal. 12.05 ERA. Like, it's a, I know that he's trying to tell everybody, cool your jets, I'm just working some stuff out. But, like, that's not working things out, though. That's just, like, playing poorly, right?
Stormy, he had 6 rehab starts. I mean, 6. The Mets reached a point where they're like, well, we signed him. So at some point in time, we got to roll him out there. And so, you know, Manaea's rehabbing as well. They gave him a 2-year contract from the Milwaukee Brewers in the offseason. They signed him to be a part of this starting rotation. They're hoping maybe that, you know, the competitive nature on the major league level gets the best out of him. I think it's to be seen. I think you gotta see it in order to believe it. That's why I'm taking the Braves tonight minus the 146.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll with you there, and I think it won't be a best bet, but I think I might fire on an F5 as well with Atlanta. I did bet the under in the Phillies Astros game as well. I know you mentioned the Phillies bullpen, 5th worst in MLB, but Fortunately, Ranger Suarez has been going deep in games, so I'm hoping that'll be enough. Framber Valdez, good on the other side for Houston as well, and they have the second best bullpen in Major League Baseball. I hope that all of that comes together and we're able to get the under on that one. No pressure, by the way. Keith went 5-1 yesterday, Mark. So
no pressure. No pressure. Thanks, Stormy. Thank you. No, I appreciate that.
We had to, Mark. We had to. We talked about it earlier. You're the best. This was a ton of fun. Don't work too hard. Make sure the AC is pumping when you get off the air.
Yeah.
That's a wrap for us today. For Mark Malusis, I'm Story Bonantoni. Enjoy Prop Points coming up after this.